All right, Kibbutzai, good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsors. Thank Stephen Terry Zinn for dedicating all the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of their parents, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yosef HaKoin, Yentl Mindel Bas David Halevi, Bunim Tzvi ben Chaim, and Devorah Bas Yisrael Yoel. Thank our week of learning sponsors, Zevin Isabel Greiner, for dedicating this week's learning in memory of Isabel's father, David Levine, David Ben Yitzchak Eli Halevi Zichrono Livracha. Supposed to be thank our sponsors for their dedication, their commitment, and with that, let us begin. So we are picking up in Meretz Hashem on today's daf is Mem Zayin 47. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Mem Vav Amud Beis 46b, Amar Rav Mesharshia. If you see, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, 17 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, remember again, just reorient ourselves for a moment. We'll say on Zoom, you hear me okay? Excellent. So remember again, just reorient ourselves a little bit. So remember, we were talking yesterday, the Gemara ended off by advancing these, we'll call it principles of machlokes. What does it mean, principles of machlokes? That's whenever you see machlokes between A and B, the machlokes always follows A. You know, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda, that the halacha always follows a particular person. We had then a three-way machlokes as to what exactly these principles mean. Are the principles to be followed literally, that halacha lamaisa, again, every single time you see a machlokes in these two opinions, that, again, halacha always follows this individual. So we saw three machlokes. Could be that the halacha is yes. Could be the halacha is that sometimes we go ahead and we slant, right? That we advise an individual. Sometimes the halacha is that we darshan this publicly. So we saw three machlokes. Fine. Now the Gemara says, Amar Mesharshia, lesnu lahani klali. And Mesharshia says, the truth is, these principles do not apply at all. Principles don't apply at all, right? These are interesting ideas, but halacha l'maaseh, they're actually not binding principles. The Gemara says, from where do we know this? Minali, the Rav Mesharshia. Where does Rav Mesharshia know that these principles are not in fact binding? The Gemara says, ilei mehadisna. Supposedly, perhaps it comes in the following case. And what's going to be very interesting now is we're going to see a series of different cases that are really quite fascinating. So the Gemara says, we have the following cases. This nan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lemaha Davardome, to what can this be compared? This is in the Mishnah. To what can this be compared? Legimel Chateros, Hapsuchos, Zul, Zul, Psuchos, Rishusarabim. The three Chateros that are open one to the other and are open to Rishusarabim. Supposedly this was the case in the Mishnah. Remember again, you had three Chateros, one right arranged in a row, that were each open to each other and open to the Rishusarabim. So what's the halacha? Ervu shtayim achitzonios, achitzonos iman tzos, himutar siman behimutar sima. So if the two outer ones make a chatzer with the inner one, so they could carry to the inner one could carry to them. However, shtayim achitzonios, achitzonos, asuros zoimzu. But the two outer chatzeros are asur one to the other. So the Gemara says, Amrav Chama Bar Gurya Amrav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. And it was Rabbi Chama Bar Gurya said the name of Rab, then in that case, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. But one second. Uman Palagale, who was arguing in Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda, Ahai, Vaha. Amrit, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Alok, Rabbi Huda. I will say, but one second, we said just before in the principles that were espoused, we said that whenever there's machlokes, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, he passed like Rabbi Huda. But yet here, the Gemara is paskening like Rabbi Shimon. Elalaf, Shmamina, Lesnu, Lesnu. So therefore, this leads to Mesharshi to the conclusion that clearly the principles espoused do not work. Do not work. Interesting idea, but Allah Chalamayisah, we are not bound by these principles. You might say, one second. Oh my kosha, dilma hecha de itmar itmar, hecha de lo itmar lo itmar. Look at Rashi, hecha de itmar, last Rashi in the daf. Behedja, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, itmar, v'chi kailin and Rabbi Huda of Rabbi Shimon, halacha k'Rabbi Huda, lehecha de lo itmar hilchoso lo kimar v'lo kimar. Both sides, so listen to this. The Gemara suggests maybe the principles work in the following way. When the Gemara decides on a halacha, right? The Gemara decides that halacha lemaisa, the halacha follows someone. Okay, so the Gemara decides that I don't need the principles to fall back on. So when the Gemara tells you that the halacha follows, for example, Rabbi Shimon, then the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. When do the principles play a role? The principles of machlokes play a role when the Gemara leaves something unresolved. In other words, I will say, this is very interesting. When we read these principles, Remember, so when I'm using the word principles, but when we are called, better to say, when we learn these rules of machlokes, right? That when A disagrees with B, the halacha always follows A. C disagrees with D, the halacha always follows D. When we learn those rules of machlokes, that's when the Gemara leaves something unresolved. So when something is unresolved, here's how you resolve it. Use these principles, or use these rules. But when the Gemara resolves something, then ultimately, again, I don't need to use the rules. And very often, the Gemara will resolve things not like the way the rules say. So again, that's what it means. Hecha de itmar itmar. When the Gemara decides the halacha, the Gemara decides the halacha. Hecha de lo itmar itmar. But halacha l'maisa, when the Gemara doesn't resolve the machlokes, that's when you can go ahead and utilize the principles. So the Gemara says, Elamiha, supposed to remember again, we're going to spend a lot of today focusing on this one statement of Rav Mesharshia. And Rav Mesharshia holds that halacha l'maisa, the principles or the rules that we espouse, the rules of machlokes, do not apply. Do not apply. We're trying to figure out where why Rav Mesharshia holds that way. Elamiha. So Gemara says, this not very interesting. Yersha Yachav Benasi Shauravim, Ma'ar V'neskula. So we're going to learn this case a bit later on. Actually, really very interesting about Irshal Yachid, Irshal Rabin. So, literally, a city of an individual, city of the public. So, we'll see that there are two different definitions. We're not really going to get into this now because this is just kind of being brought in a secondary fashion. But Irshal Yachid, Irshal Rabin is a machlokis. What does it mean? So, it could mean, by the way, Irshal Yachid, Irshal Rabin could actually mean the reflective of the amount of pedestrian traffic. That a Irshal Rabin, a public city, is one that has more than 600,000 people traveling through it, versus an Irshal Yachid is a city with less than that amount of traffic. That's possible. Or it could also mean a publicly owned city versus a privately owned city. Bless you. So we'll say, so either way, the Gemara says as follows. If you had an individual city and it became then a public city, ma'arvin eskula, you could go ahead and make an eruv for the entire city. However, says the Gemara Shal Rabim, v'nasis shal yachid. But if you have a city that belonged to the public and then it was privatized, right, or it became a private city, ei ma'arvin eskula. It's actually very interesting. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that if halacha l'maisa, you have a private city that became public, no problem, it can make an eruv throughout the entire city. But if you had a public city which became private, you must leave a certain, you can make an eruv, provided that you leave a certain amount of space outside of the eruv. How much space do you have to leave outside of the eruv? Ultimately, again, like a brand new city in Yehuda, which ultimately, again, would be a city of 50 residents. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see why that is in just a moment. Rabbi Shimon says, Tap of Memzayin, Shalosh Chatzeros Shal Shnei Batim. You don't have to leave out an area of 50 residents. Rather, all you need to do is leave out an area of 3 Chatzeros comprised of 2 homes. And we'll say again, there's a lot more details to this that we'll see in Mir Tzitzit when we actually get to the real Sugyo. V'amar Chan Bar Gurya, Amarav, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Chan Bar Gurya is the name of Rabbi Datta, Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, namely, that you need to exclude when you have a city that was public and became private, you can go ahead and make an Erev throughout the entire city, but you must exclude some amount of space from that Erev. And how much space? Rav Chaim Bar Gurya says, like Rabbi Shimon, 3 chatzeros comprised of 2 batim. But we'll say, just as an aside, the concern over here in a city which was public and then becomes private, is the concern that maybe it will become an Irshal Rabim again. And if it comes an Irshal Rabim, we don't want people to forget their obligations when it comes to Erev of a public city. That's why we leave some amount unenclosed in order to serve as a reminder should the city revert back to its original status. Okay, so the Gemara says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Ayuman Paligalibos, who's arguing Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Huda. Baha Amrit Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Huda. But 1 second, in the rules of Machlokes, you said that whenever there's a Machlokes in Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, that Allah follows Rabbi Huda. And yet here you're passing like Rabbi Shimon. So Mesharshia says, you see from here that what? The rules don't apply. To which the Gemara Sabbos is going to give the same answer over and over. My Kashya, my Kush, Dilma, Hachanami, Hecha de Itmar Itmar. Rather, I will say, no. Maybe what it means is like this. The rules of machlokes work in the following way. When the Gemara explicitly says that the halacha follows a particular opinion, that's who the halacha follows. We don't use the rules. The rules are only there to help us resolve unresolved cases. So when the Gemara leaves something open and doesn't come to a conclusion, that's when you could go ahead and use the rules. But when the Gemara tells you that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, elamiha. So also rather Rabbi Sharshia felt that the rules don't apply from the following case. This nan, interest, listen to this. Hamaniach es beso, b'halach lishpos, b'iracher. So say, we're going to see all of these cases that the Gemara is kind of bringing up in rapid fire. We're going to devote significant time to each of these cases. So right now, we're kind of only touching on them a bit peripherally, or a bit, I'll say superficially. But again, we'll come back to each of these cases. Hamaniach es beso, b'halach lishpos, b'iracher. So let's listen to this. A person leaves his home and he goes to spend Shabbos in another city. But he does so without participating in the Erev Chatzeros. I must remember again, for Erev Chatzeros to work, really everyone has to participate. So now Reuven goes ahead and he lives in the Chatzar. He went away for Shabbos and he didn't participate in the Erev. So what's the halacha? So Echa Nachri ve'Echa Yisrael, whether the person who left is a Jew or a non-Jew, Oser Libnei Chatzeros Remeir. Remeir says that ultimately he prohibits the rest of the chatzar, the rest of the bnei chatzar, to go ahead and take objects from their homes to their chatzar, or from their chatzar to their homes. Ultimately, again, because since the individual who left for Shabbos has an ownership stake in the chatzar and he did not join in the eruv, therefore he prohibits upon everyone else. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Omer, Eino Oser. Rabbi Huda says, no, he doesn't aser. Now Rashi says, the reason he doesn't aser is because he's not in the city. So because he's not in the city, it's almost as if his ownership interest is null and void. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nachri Oser, Yisrael Ina Oser. Rabbi Yossi says, a non-Jew, right, the failure of a non-Jew to participate in the Erev, ultimately, again, will aser the rest of the residents. But Yisrael Ina Oser. But ultimately, again, a Jew will not go ahead and aser. Now, why is that? Rashi points out, again, something very interesting. You see, a Nachri, when he goes away for Shabbos, could always come back on Shabbos. So because he could reassert his ownership interest on Shabbos, his failure to participate in the Erev negates the Erev. When a Jew goes away for Shabbos, I will say, what happens? He's gone. So because he's gone, there's almost like a Hesach Hadas. There's almost like a quasi-removal of his ownership interest from the Chatzar, and therefore he doesn't aser upon anyone else. But we'll say, we're going to see, because these halachas actually are very pertinent. So we'll see this sugi as well. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu hiniach es beis oval lishbos eitzel bito ba'osair, eino oser. Rabbi Shimon says, even if the Yisrael didn't leave the city, but he went to spend Shabbos by his daughter in the same city, eino oser. He still doesn't aser upon the rest of the residents of the Chatzar for his failure to participate in the Erev. Why? Shekvar Yisiach Daito. Because what's interestingly enough, Rabbi Shimon says, listen, once you go away for Shabbos, you go away for Shabbos. Really, where you're going doesn't actually even matter all that much. But once you leave your house for Shabbos, you've left your house for Shabbos. And therefore, again, there's a Hesach Hadas. There's like a removal of das, so that therefore it's almost as if this person relinquishes their ownership interests within the home itself, and therefore does not negate the Eruv. Who does Halacha follow? The Gemara wants to suggest, like Rabbi Shimon, right? Uman Palagalein, who's arguing Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda. I have a ha'amr Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda. But we said before in the principles, right, in the rules of machlokas, that when there's machlokas Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah follows Rabbi Huda. So Misharshi again says, you see from here that we are disregarding these rules, which clearly indicates to us what? The rules don't apply. Umay kusha. So says the Gemara, what's the question? Dilma ha'chanami hecha de itmar itmar hecha de lo itmar lo itmar. So Sir Misharshi says again, maybe not. In other words, the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe again. Even if you agree that the rules are effective, the rules are only effective where the Gemara doesn't resolve the machlokas. So if the Gemara gives the conclusion, that's how you paskin. If the Gemara doesn't give the conclusion, then we'll employ the rules. Elamiha. Rather, Misharshe says from here, this nan vizeu sha'amru ha'ani ma'ari beraglov. So it's very interesting. An ani, a poor person, could establish his Shabbos domicile with his feet. with his suite. Rosh Hashanah means the Ani shows up in a particular location, and when he shows up in that location, he establishes his domicile, and his 2,000 Amis are measured from there. Rabbi Meir says, "Ein lanu ela Ani." Rabbi Meir says, this only works by a pauper. Only by a pauper, right? So the Gemara makes it sound like that other people would have to use. I will say now. Let me explain. The chap of saying that Ani could do it with his feet means he doesn't have to bring mazon shtei seudos. He doesn't require food to create an eruv. He just requires his person, which of course is a big kula because it's much less expensive to establish your makum shvisa with your body than it is with your food. To which the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yehuda omer echad ani ve'echad ashir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Well, a pauper and a rich person, anyone who wants could establish their Shabbos domicile ultimately, again, with their person. Lo amru ma'arvin bepas ala lahakil ala ashir shelo yitzi ve'yari beraglov. The only reason why we said that you can make a makum shvisa, that you can go ahead and establish your domicile with bread, is a kula. Because again, remember, if I could establish my domicile with food, then what could I do? What could I do? I could send it with someone else, right? That which makes life much easier. Masha Enkin, if I have to establish my makum shvisa with my body, obviously only I can do that myself. And Rav said also the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, Tarti lamali. So why do I need both statements? Why is there a need for the Braisi here to say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? After all, again, look back to the rules of Machlokas. And the rules of Machlokas tell me whenever there's Machlokas, remain Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Umay Kushya. Dilma Rav, Lesli Lahani Klali. Rabbi Rav, because we'll say Rav is the author, right? Rav is the one who's talking over here. Maybe Rav doesn't hold of these particular rules of Machlokas. Okay? Elamiha. Rather, we'll say Mesharshia felt that the rules of Machlokas don't apply based on the following Mishnah. This now was an interesting case. Hayavama, we're switching gears here. Hayavama lo tachlots velo tesyabim achu l'shlosh chadashim. We'll say a woman who is subject to Yibum. Right? So remember again, a woman whose husband dies and he dies without any children. So she is now subject to Yibum, marrying of her brother-in-law. So the Mishnah says that the Yivama should not do Chalitza, nor should she do Yibum until 3 months after her husband died. Well, again, what's the logic? The logic is we want to make sure that she's not pregnant from her marriage, right? Because if she's pregnant, then obviously Yibum does not apply. So we give it 3 months in order to see if she's pregnant. So we'll say similarly again, the Gemara says the Tanakhama, the Chum say, and the truth is the 3 month waiting period applies to everyone. It applies to everyone. Anytime a woman is coming off of a marriage, she must wait 3 months before she got remarried. And I will say, not only that, even if a woman is divorced or widowed from Erusin, right, from Erusin, which is the initial stage of marriage before a husband and wife live together, it doesn't make a difference. Halacha l'maisa, once a woman is coming off of a marriage, because she's divorced or she's widowed, she must wait 3 months before getting remarried. And by the way, that's 3 months before Erusin. In other words, also, you might have thought, well, just let her do Erusin and she won't do Nisuin. Because remember, again, Erusin, a husband and wife, even though they're technically married, they're not living together. The Gemara says, no, nothing happens. Erusin, Nisuin, Besula, Salmanos, doesn't make a difference until after 3 months. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nisuos is Arsu, Va'arusos Yenasu. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not true. If a woman was widowed or divorced from Nisuin, so she can have Erusin within 3 months after her divorce or widowing. Right? So in other words, we'll say, so again, Rabbi Yehuda says, Erusin, so she can get the first stage of marriage, but can't live with her husband. Va'arusos, but if a woman was widowed or divorced from Erusin, then Yenasu. Then, in fact, she's even permitted to get fully remarried. Fully remarried, right? Because again, I will say, since she was widowed from Erusin, there's no chashash of pregnancy. Interesting enough, with one exception, chutz me arusa shevi Yehuda. We'll say, with the exception of if she was a woman who had Erusin in, if she's a member of the tribe of Yehuda, and she had Erusin in Yehuda, then I will say, ultimately, again, if she was widowed or divorced from Erusin, she cannot go ahead and get remarried before 3 months. Why? Mipnei shalibo gasba. ultimately, again, because his heart is attached to her, which also is a metaphorical way of saying that in Yehuda, again, we'll see this in Meretz Hashem, in Ksuvis, it's quite an interesting sukkah, what we saw, we'll see it again. In Yehuda, they allowed for a chasan and kala to spend time alone together before Nisuin, during Irisin and before Nisuin. As a result, sometimes as a result of spending all of that time alone together, so ultimately, again, things happened. So therefore, again, in Yehuda, if a woman is divorced or widowed from Irisin, that case, she must wait for 3 months. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol hanashim yisarsu chutz min almana. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not true. Within 3 months, all women are permitted to engage in Irisin, with the exception of a widow. And for a widow, something to do with pregnancy, rather what? Mipnei ha'evil. Because ultimately, again, because she's in mourning. She's in mourning, so it's not appropriate for a widow to go ahead and get remarried within 3 months, even just for Irisin. But Armina and Rabbi Elazar, lo all the Beis Midrash. So we'll say this, and now they said about this as follows. One day, Rabbi Eliezer didn't come to the Beis Midrash. Ashkechel, Rabbi Yassi, the Havakayim, he saw Rabbi Yassi was in Beis Midrash that day. Amar Lei, my Amar Beis Midrash, tell me, what did they learn today in the Beis Midrash? Amar Lei, Hachi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yassi said, here's Rabbi Yochanan, said, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi when it comes to this 3 month waiting period, namely that according to Rabbi Yossi, no one has to wait for Erisin, right? You could have Erisin within 3 months. You just have to go and wait for Nisuin, except in Amana because of Avelos. The Gemara says, Michlal di Yechida Poligale. So I'll say that sounds like ultimately, again, that there's only one other individual argues in Rabbi Yossi in. That is true. Vatanya. Let's listen to this. What happens if before the death or divorce, she, the wife, was living in her father's home? Right? Whatever the reason is, she wasn't living with her husband. Right? And therefore, again, she was living in her father's home. Or she had a very terrible relationship with her husband. And therefore, we'll say the common denominator in all these cases are, we're pretty sure there was no physical intimacy. Either she wasn't there, she was living in her father's home, they had a terrible marriage, or her husband was old or sick, or she was old or sick, or she was a minor or an islandess who was incapable of having children, or her husband was incarcerated, or if she miscarried immediately after the death of her husband. Now, I will say, now in all of these cases, the Gemara's common denominator is, we know she's not pregnant. So we'll say, so what do you do in a case we know she's not pregnant? Rabbi Meir still holds, we'll say that Allah Lamaisa in all of these cases, even though we know she's not pregnant, she still must wait 3 months. Which I will say, right, you understand Rabbi Meir's logic. Rabbi Meir's logic is, it's a low plug. Rabbi Meir, we see this all the time in rabbinic law, that you can't, in order for a law to kind of hold, it has to apply in all situations. The moment that halacha lemaisa applies here, doesn't apply here, applies in this case, is the moment that it fundamentally erodes. So therefore, again, Rameer says that the halacha of 3 months applies everywhere. Rabbi Yossi Matir, the Ores v'Linasimiyat. So Rabbi Yossi says that the halacha is, no. Any woman is permitted to have erisin immediately. I, the Gemara says, Lamali. Va'amr, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Halacha, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, again, the rules of Machlokes tell me that when there's Machlokes, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, the Halacha always follows Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, Umay Kusha, Doma La'afuki mit Rav Nachman. Maybe he's coming to exclude the position of Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, Da'amr, Halacha, Rabbi Meir, Bigzirosa. Because we'll say there is another statement here of Rav Nachman holds that whenever Rabbi Meir goes ahead and makes a gzera, the halacha always follows Rabbi Meir. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, I'm not allowed to halacha follows Rabbi Meir. Therefore, the Gemara needs to make the statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we'll say in general, the way we paskin in that case is that halacha lemaisa, the 3 month waiting period is a low plug. That pretty much applies across the board. That's whenever a woman, so you could have a situation of a woman who is widowed at a very old age, where it's pretty clear that halacha lemaisa, she's not pregnant. Nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, we tell her that she has to wait 3 months before getting remarried. Okay, elamiha. Well, as I just understand, we have a very simple mission over here. Rabbi Misharshia is saying that halacha lemaisa, the principles of machlokes do not apply. The rules of Machlokes don't apply. We're just trying to figure out why he says that. Elamehal, What's the interesting case? You can go to the fair. Yerid is like a fair on market. Okay, good. You can go to the market of Nachrim, and you can purchase from them animals and servants and maidservants and homes and fields and vineyards. The kosef umala barko shalohem. And we'll say furthermore, you can execute the documents of sale in their courts. Because we'll say if you do this, then halacha lemaisa, it's as if you're going in and saving it from the hands of the Gentile. We'll say, now what does this mean? Now interestingly enough, generally, we don't like to go to our kosher nachrim, right? We do not like to go to Gentile courts. Because ultimately, again, what it does is, it goes and bolsters the Gentile system of law. It's one of the times of the Gemara. So as opposed to halacha, but in this kind of situation where if you don't go to our kos, so the nachri could go ahead and undermine the sale, so you go to our kos. You go to their courts. So the Gemara says, listen to this. So the Gemara says, not only that, Mim Haya Kohen, Mitame Bechutz La'aretz Ladun Ula Arer Imohem. And if he was a Kohen, ultimately, again, he wants to purchase, we're going to say this is real estate, he can go to Chutz La'aretz and go ahead and literally work out the business deal with them. Ukashim Shemitame Bechutz La'aretz Nabosein. Now remember, when a Kohen goes to Chutz La'aretz, what happens? He becomes Tame. There is rabbinic Tumah in Chutz La'aretz. Anyone in Chutz La'aretz. The logic for that is because the rabbis felt that people were not careful, Nachrim, were not careful with how they buried their dead in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore there was a general concern that wherever a Kohen could go, it could be an area of an unmarked grave. So therefore we'll say that a Kohen is permitted to go to Chutz La'aretz in order to go ahead and settle a real estate deal. Not only that, the Gemara says, K'shem Shematayim Chutz La'aretz Kach Matayim Beis Akvaras. And a Kohen could even go into a cemetery in order to go ahead and solidify a real estate deal. And I will say, just so you understand the backdrop of this. The backdrop of this is, especially when it comes to real estate, is that we're talking about land in Eretz Yisrael. Land in Eretz Yisrael. And the idea being that you could do what you have to do in order to go ahead and buy up Eretz Yisrael real estate, that it should be in the hands of Jews. So therefore, even if halacha lemaisa, the Kohen has to go to Chutz La'aretz, it's Tumah, and the Gemara even has to go into the cemetery, right? The Nachri says, listen, meet me by the grave of my father to go ahead and steal the deal. So it sounds like the Kohen could do that. To which the Gemara says, what? How could a Kohen go into a cemetery to solidify a real estate deal that's Tumah Doraisa? Ella bebeisa pras dirabanon. Rather, we'll see what it means is a beisa pras. Remember, we've had beisa pras. Beisa pras is a field where you know there was a grave, but the field was plowed over, and now it's not clear where exactly the grave is. So a coin could go into that field. There's a rabbinic prohibition to go into that field. Remember, how does a coin go into a beisa pras? You blow on the dirt in front of you to uncover any potential bone fragments. So a Kohen can't go into an actual cemetery. It's a daraisa, but he can go into the Beis HaPras. The Gemara says, Umetame lit lisa isha velil motora. Both say, furthermore, this is actually quite incredible. A person could go to Chutz La'aretz and therefore, again, be subject to rabbinic tumah in order to get married and in order to learn Torah. So if you find the prospective shidduch in Chutz La'aretz, you can go. You find the yeshiva in Chutz La'aretz, you can go. The Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yehuda imasai, bizman shemotei limot. Avamoti limot lo yitame. So Rabbi Huda says, no. When can you go to yeshiva and chutz la'aretz? That's only when. If you can't find the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. But if there's yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael to go and learn Torah. We're also listening to this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af bizman shemotzi limot nami yitma. It's not true. Even if halacha l'maisa, there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, if there's a better yeshiva for you in chutz la'aretz, you are permitted to go. Lefi amadeis, lefi she'en min hakol zocha adam lemor. This is so beautiful. A Rebbe-Talmud relationship is a shidduch. And the same way that a man can't marry just any woman, so to halacha lemaisa, a Talmud, every person needs a Rebbe that is suitable for that. We'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, Shalom in Akol Adam Zoch Alamod. First Rashi on Beis, In Adam Zoch Alamod, Mikom Lamdov. We'll say, a person doesn't always click with every single Rebbe. Ye Shrav Shemish Nasos Sedura Befiv, Vishron Tamidav Derech Kitzara. We'll say, some Tamidim need a Rebbe who explains things in a very, protracted way. Some people need a Rebbe who is very succinct. So it's actually really quite beautiful. The Rebbe Talmud relationship, it's a Shidduch. So it has to click. It has to work. So it's interesting machlokis over here. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Huda says, if there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, you think there's a better yeshiva for you in Chutz Laaretz, doesn't matter, stay in Eretz Yisrael. As long as there's a place for you to learn, make it work. Make it work. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if the person you feel could be your Rabbi is in Chutz Laaretz, then you're permitted to go to Chutz Laaretz. Let's say it's also an incredible like machlokis in life, in terms of when do you go out and you say, you know what, these are my circumstances, I must adapt to what they are, I must adapt. Or when do you say, I must go out to change my circumstances? It's a fundamental challenge that many of us encounter every single day. When do you adapt versus when do you go ahead and actively try to change? When do you stay in Eretz Yisrael because it's Eretz Yisrael? Or when do you go out into Chutz La'aretz because ultimately, again, you feel that there's a better setup for me there? Fascinating idea. So the Gemara says, Va'as Rabbi Yossi, Va'am Rabbi Yossi, Ma'is Rabbi Yossi, Fakon Shalach, Eitzel Rabbo, Litzidon, Lilmo Torah. And Rabbi Yossi said there was a story of Yossi Fakon who went to his Rebbe to learn Torah in Sidon. And Rabbi Yossi was saying, this is a story, right? That Yosef HaKohen went to Chutz La'aretz to learn Torah with his Rebbe. Jose Tzidon, interestingly enough, used to be part of Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech conquered, part of his conquering was up to Tzidon, but then subsequently it was taken back. In any event, you see from here, Rabbi Yossi quotes a story where a Kohen Mamish left Eretz Yisrael to go learn Torah by his Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan says, Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. I don't understand why do we need a declarative statement that Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. After all, Baha Amrit, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. After all, we'll say, in our rules of Machlokis, we learned that what? When there's a Machlokis, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi, Istrius, Adait Chamin, Haimin, Ibelas Nisan. Rabbi says, I need it, because I would have thought, when do the rules of Machlokis apply? When it's a Machlokis and Mishnah? Aval Bebraiso, Imalo. But in a brisa, but see, I will say, in a brisa, sometimes the names could get a little bit mixed up. So I would have thought that the rules of machlokes don't apply in a brisa. Kamash malon, they do. Ela hachi kamar. Rather, I will say, what Mishar Shem meant to say, hani klali lav divre hakol minhu. The harav lesli hani klali. So if I will say, the Gemara at the end of the day says, really what Rav Mishar Shem meant to say was as follows. We have these rules of machlokes. So first of all, I will say, number one, the rules of Machlokes at most only apply where the Gemara doesn't reach a conclusion. Right? Where the Gemara reaches a conclusion, And that conclusion need not conform to the rules of Machlokes. The rules of Machlokes only help us when the Gemara does not reach a particular conclusion. But even then, it's important to understand not everyone, particularly Rav, not everyone holds of these rules of Machlokes. Good, fascinating. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Chefzei Nachri in Kolin Shvisa. We'll say interesting halacha. So Rav Yehuda says, name Shmuel, the property of a Nachri does not acquire Makom Shvisa. In other words, we'll say, this is very important. So remember again, my utensils have my tchum. This is incredibly important. Whatever I own has my tchum. So if you borrow an object from me on Shabbos, so just because you're borrowing it, the object is still confined by my tchum. So we'll say the Gemara now says that the property, the objects of a Nachri do not have a tchum. Don't acquire makom shisa, which we'll say would mean that what? That Allah says, if you borrow a utensil from a Nachri, what's the tchum of that object? What's the tchum? Whatever your tchum is, whatever the borrower's tchum is. So the Gemara says, Leman, whose opinion does this reflect?
So
according to the Rabbanon, chefzei hefker, remember going back a few days, right? Ownerless objects, according to the Rabbanon, do not acquire a makom shvisa. If ownerless objects do not acquire a makom shvisa, then certainly again, the objects owned by a nachri don't acquire a makom shvisa. Because you also remember again, Nachrim are not bound by the halachos of tchum. So essentially, legabi hilchos tchumin, right? The property of a nachri is no different than chefzei hefker. Ela aliyu Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rather, must Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because we also remember again, kamash walon, anyone Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri konin shvisa haimili chefzei hefker de leslu bailim. We'll say Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that chefzei hefker are konin shvisa. That we'll say ownerless objects acquire a makom shvisa domicile where they are. And therefore, they have 2,000 amos of mobility from the area upon which they were situated at the onset of Shabbos. B'Yivan Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that's by Chefte Hefker, because they have no owners. But Chefte Nochri, that ultimately, again, have owners, ultimately, but yet their owners are not bound by Hilchos Shabbos. Those objects do not acquire a makom shvisa. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, if you were to borrow an object from a nachri, from a Gentile on Shabbos, halacha l'maaseh, that object would take on your tchum. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, I'm sorry, but this will not come up. Meisvei, Rav Shirin Elazar Omer, Hashol Kli Min Anachri B'Yamtiv." Goes here we go. Person borrows an object, borrows a kli from a nachri on Yamtiv. V'chin Hamash Ilo L'Nachri Kli Me'Erev Yamtiv. Or I lent my Gentile neighbor an object on Erev Yamtiv, V'chziro Lo B'Yamtiv, and he returned it back to me on Yamtiv. So we'll say so again. One of two cases, either I borrow something from a Nachri on Yom Tiv, or I lent him something on Erev Yom Tiv, and he gave it back to me on Yom Tiv. Va'kelim, va'otzros, sheshavsu b'soch ha'tchum. Or I will say, for that matter, again, utensils. Otzros are storage items that ultimately, again, establish their domicile in the tchum. Yeishlam ha'paim amal choruach. Ultimately, again, they have 2,000 amas in every direction. The Nachri, Shehevi Pira. So we'll say, so look at Rashi for just a moment. Yeshna Apayim Al Choruach, Vafidu Hin Shal Hefker, Uklisha Kana Shavisa Eitz La Nachri, Vaxiru La Bailim, Ve'ervu Bailav La Mizrach, O La Mayrav, Ein Yochalot Siyam Apayim. So we'll say, so remember again, what it sounds like over here is that these objects have acquired a Makum Shavisa. So the Gemara says, similarly, V'Nachri Shehevi Peros Michut La Tchum, and if a Nachri brought produce from outside of the Tchum, Hare ze lo yazizim mim koman. Ultimately, I'm going to say, if they were brought out of the tchum, they were brought from outside of the tchum into the tchum on yamtiv, you may not move them from their place. Which means, again, about like any object brought from outside of the tchum, you have dal ramas. So we'll say, so remember again, this price pretty clearly indicates that the objects belonging to a nachri and a nachri's possession at the onset of Shabbos or yamtiv do acquire a makom shvisa, do acquire a domicile, and therefore are limited in their mobility to 2,000 amos from the spot in which they started Shabbos, or which they were situated at the onset of Shabbos. So whose opinion is this? So Bishlama Kasar Yochanan ben Uri Chavsei Nachri Kon Shvisa. So I say, if you hold that the property of a Nachri, the kilm of a Nachri, acquire a domicile, acquire a makom shvisa, then how many Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? Then I'll say this could reflect Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's position. But if you hold, Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds that objects owned by a Gentile do not acquire a makom shvisa, and therefore they take on the tchum of whoever uses them on Shabbos or Yom Tov, hamani, then whose opinion does this price reflect? Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, velo Rabbanon. The olam kasar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri chefte nachri konin shvisa. Wow. So Rabbi say, really? Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that essentially chefte nachri are the same thing as Cheftei Hefker, the ownerless objects. And just like ownerless objects acquire a makom shvisa, acquire a tchum, so too the kelim of a nachri also acquire their own tchum. Ushmuel d'amar k'rabbanon. And Shmuel holds like the Rabbanon, namely, that Cheftei Nachri do not acquire a makom shvisa. Ayud k'amrit l'rabbanon pshita. I will say, according to what you said, it's pashat according to the Rabbanon. Ma'udu tema. Because according to the Rabbanon, if Cheftei Hefker are not Konin Shvisa, all the more so Cheftei Nachri are not Konin Shvisa, which also makes sense, right? Because again, Nachrim are not bound by the laws of Tchum at all, of course. So therefore, again, according to Rabbanon, who hold that Cheftei Hefker are not Konin Shvisa, of course Cheftei Nachri are not Konin Shvisa. So what's the Chiddush? To which I'll tell you, Ma'od Tema, Gezeira Bailim de Nachri Atu Bailim de Yisrael. But I'll say this is actually very interesting. I would have thought as follows. Maybe we do say Cheftei Nachri Konin Shvisa. In order not to confuse a case of utensils owned by Jews with utensils owned by non-Jews. So I'll say, so I might have thought that Kamash Balano. Kamash Balano will say that we're confident that people know the distinction between Chavtei Nachri and ultimately again Chavtei. So we'll just do two more lines and we'll stop. Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin Amar Am Rabbi Yochanan Chavtei Nachri Konin Shvisa. So also Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin comes along and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not true. The property of Nachrim ultimately again, the utensil of Nachrim does acquire Makum Shvisa, which we'll say again means that ultimately wherever the utensil is at the onset of Shabbos, that is its domicile, and it has 2,000 amos of range of mobility from the place where it started on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says, why? Gezerah Bailim Denachri Atu Bailim Diyishah. So Abba says, Rebbe Chaya Avin comes along and he says, no. In fact, the way we paskin is that Chefsei Nachrim are Konin Shvisa. Why? How could that be? A Nachri is not subject to the laws of Shabbos. Why is the property of a Nachri any different than Chefsei Hefker? To which Rebbe Chaya Avin says, no, because here's the concern. The concern is that you may come to confuse the property of a Nachri with the property of a Yisrael. And if we don't impose a tchum on the property of a Nachri, you may come to go ahead and forget about the obligation of creating a tchum for the property of a Yisrael. Good Rebbe says, so that's the machlokas. We're ending off with that machlokas. And Mirat Hashem will see the resolution of that machlokas. Mirat Hashem b'sha'a tovah mitzlachos tomorrow. Say just a special mazel tov to Yitzin Shira Oppenheim on the birth of a baby boy. Mazel tov. B'sha'a tovah mitzlachos a bris on Yom Kippur. Mirat Hashem b'sha'a bizorcha lachniso b'viso sha'arma avinu b'zmano. Mazel tov. And a special welcome back to Rabbi Nachum Schoenfeld. Baruch Hashem was with us, not a welcome back, with us the whole time. Welcome, well, here, but again, welcome back to the in-person shiur. Yishe koyach. He can't contain himself. At first thought, the suggestion, when Gil wants to hug you, let him hug you.
I think I have much. Matt, you brought a ship? No, I'm just warming up. Yeah. Oh, yeah? Yeah, okay. Ashraya Shavishak.